on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Friday, our financial update with Brian Cochran with John Moore Associates. Brian, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So today on the docket is a discussion on estate planning. Where do we start?
Well, we're going to talk about a lot throughout this month, Steve. I thought we'd talk about sort of the basics today, sort of set the stage. And what we'll get into over the month is not only the importance of having good estate planning documents, but then the follow through on that. What does it really mean to not just have the documents, but to have a plan, to communicate that plan to your family and to face the realities that come with aging and then our eventual death and how we leave assets properly to our next generation?
Well, I'm going to assume, since you brought up the word plan, that the usual axiom that we hear applies here. If you fail to plan, or if you, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Yeah. And what we find here is that folks who don't do the right things, it doesn't affect them usually. You know, if you think about estate documents, there's really two things you're trying to address. You're trying to address the fact that eventually you may reach a phase of life where you can't handle your own affairs. You know, you don't have the cognitive or physical ability to manage your finances or your own medical decisions. And then the second phase is when you actually pass away. And in both of those phases, your family will do everything that needs to be done. You know, in the end, if you have a loving, engaged family, they're going to make sure that your financial affairs and your medical affairs are taken care of. The question is, how easy have you made that process for them through good planning? And then when you pass away, your estate will be distributed. It's just a matter of how much time, energy, and effort goes into that process based on the planning you've provided. So good estate planning is not about whether or not these things will happen. It's a matter of have you made this very easy or very difficult for your loved ones?
And Brian, most of us probably jump right on this, but let's bring to light for those that are like, okay, well, I'm a long ways from being cognitively unable to, you know, take care of my affairs, and I'm clearly a long way from wearing a halo instead of a hat. Speak to people who approach this as they listen with that kind of an attitude.
Yeah, I think, and I hear that even from people in their 60s and 70s, that they don't feel a sense of urgency around these things. What I'll tell you is I'm in my 40s and I have all of my ducks in a row, because you don't know what God has in store for your future. We all know people who have passed away, untimely deaths, or who have gone through major medical episodes where a family member had to step up and care for them at different ages. I was just talking to a new client the other day who has a daughter-in-law in her 30s going through major cancer, procedures and treatments. And you just don't know what the future has in store. And so we always tell people, you plan your estate hoping that you won't need it. You know, you won't need these documents tomorrow, but all estate planning should be done as if you will need it tomorrow. So it's one of the issues we have the most with the clients that we serve, is that they delay this process because it can be a little bit costly. It can be time consuming, and mostly people don't want to talk about their disability and death. So they defer and defer. But in the end, what we feel is that every client should have a will, maybe a trust, but definitely a will. They should have their medical and financial power of attorney documents, and they should have their medical directives, which is the document that says, you know, how much life support and other, you know, life extending care you want. Everybody should have that, whether you're 22, 52, or 82. Those documents should be, in place for all individuals and couples.
Okay. Well, Brian, I know in some areas, like when we talk about accounts being put aside for sending kids to college, and I always forget if it's a 429, 529, we've discussed on this segment, quite honestly, that's something that's simple enough that you can really do yourself. You can get an advisor to assist you, but there's something you can handle yourself. Where does the will or trust fall in these areas?
I think it's best to get a professional advisor involved. There are some online tools. There's like the walk-in wills, where it can be very turnkey and lower cost. for most families that we serve, we think it's worth sitting down with a professional because every family is so unique. And if you start using boilerplate documents and templates, you might miss some of the nuances involved with your family.
And now, a listener goes and does go do one of those, is something better than nothing?
Something is better than nothing in most cases. The problem we find is when there's a document that doesn't take into account your unique family circumstances, that you may be overconfident that all your bases are covered or that you have a great plan when really there's some significant issues. I'll use an example. If you have an heir and a beneficiary that is disabled, that is receiving some form of federal or state support because they cannot work, there's special trusts and estate planning considerations there. Or maybe you just set up a certain family member to be your medical agent, the person that takes care of your medical decisions. But maybe that person's out of state and they can't really do that. And you didn't really consider that, but a local estate attorney would say, hey, let's find somebody local for you. And if there's not a family member, there's actually agencies, professionals that can do this on a paid basis. So there's a lot of considerations. It's kind of that area, Steve, where you don't know what you don't know. And so sitting down with an attorney can expose some of the blind spots you have. And you could say, wow, I never thought of that. I never considered that option. But wise counsel can really come and benefit you in this case.
Well, you know, whether you're looking for a realtor, auto mechanic, a dentist, a doctor, you know, all areas that involve, you know, not only wanting things done, you know, very well, you know, it's money's involved. And I know in all of those areas, one of the things I do is consider people I know who have already acquired those specialists to assist them. Mm-hmm. And I reach out to my sphere of influence for a recommendation. If not that, how else do you seek out someone that you can be confident will have your best interest in mind?
Yeah, I think the way you started is great. You know, talk to someone you know who's gone through this. There is an organization called ACTEC, A-C-T-E-C, that is an organization of estate planning professionals. We like to use their website as a search tool to find attorneys that have met certain standards that we like to see. And so if we have a client, for example, that's out of state and we don't have a network of attorneys already established there, like we do here in Albuquerque or in Phoenix, then we'll encourage them to go to that website and search for an ACTEC attorney in their area. And so that's a great organization that helps vet qualified estate planning attorneys. But the key is that you find somebody who's been here before, who knows, you know, the ropes when it comes to estate planning. You're not trying to do this on your own. We actually met a client the other day that wrote up his own will and just drew up himself. And when we looked at it, like we had three or four considerations, even though we're not estate planning attorneys in our office, there were some gaps that he hadn't thought of that we caught. So certainly it's not a DIY project in our opinion.
Yeah. Well, as a lay person, I've asked several questions that I hope our listeners were thinking to ask as well. But I know there was a certain amount, today you wanted to communicate. Is there anything else, before we finish our conversation?
No, I just close again by saying those four key documents, your will, your medical power of attorney, your financial power of attorney, and your medical directive. If you don't have those need to be on your list. And we'll talk as we go through this month, Steve, about other considerations, the details of what you want to see in those documents, and then what to do once you have the documents in place.
All right. Well, Brian Cochran has joined us for our Friday Financial Update from John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com. Any of this content available on the Insights tab on the website at no cost?
We will have a special blog post coming out this week, this coming week, on this topic, going a little deeper. And so that's a great resource. And we've spoken in the past on estate planning and wealth transfer on many of our posts. So definitely a lot of content on the Insights tab.
Very good. Brian, thanks for your time. Have a great weekend. We'll look forward to catching up with you just 1 week away.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
All right. And thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.